Blog Talk Radio.
Have that talent. Welcome to North Carolina.
Have that talent.
Have that talent.
I'm gone.
Got that rhythm.
I'm gone.
Have that talent.
I'm gone.
Got.
Come on, come on, come on, come on.
I'm gone. I'm gone.
Come on, come on.
I'm gone.
Welcome, Alafia family. Greetings. You've got your Omi Inca 7 live coming to you straight from my studio. I'd like to welcome each and every one of you by saying Habari Dani and inviting you into our chat room. Our chat rooms are open, and we are also alerting you to the fact that we are going to deviate from our topic of indigenous people because we have an urgent necessity to speak on a topic that we have spoken before, but we're bringing it back just to remind you that we are still working in that direction and we have not forgotten about that topic. As you know, we have a commitment to working with babies from the bench, and our commitment has grown in helping those babies from the bench, and we're going to be addressing that today. Most people know that I am an early interventionist to intervene on behalf of those children from birth to age 5 years old up to six. And one of the things that I do as a professional is from time to time speak on the topic of early intervention and birth to three. It is a special education category, and it's for the family of the child, of the infant who has a special need. And dealing with court situations, a lot of times those children who are maltreated and abused fall into a category of disability. Some of them come into that category by virtue of the delays that they have. So we're going to speak on that topic today, the court team and the Maltreated Infant Project and what we're doing and what we plan to do in that area. And we're going to solicit for your help to be a part of a volunteer section. Most of you know that I was a part of the action group for the Obama team working with the married couples, and I brought about the project reordering the marriage vows of the African American for the 21st century. And now we're going to address those infants in the home. We're going to be dealing with healing the youngest child. And we've done this before. We've had guests on our show, lawyers from the area of family law, and practice those lawyers who actually had cases that pertain to the custody cases of children as well as dealing with those children that are in foster care. So we're going to talk about that today. We're going to take a short break, and we'll bring you right back into the atmosphere. Hold tight. We'll be right back. Welcome back, family. Our chat rooms are open. Our number is 646-478-0270. Now, the last time we talked, we were doing divination and breaking bread with families and giving them insight. We're not going to stop doing that. If there's someone out there that would like a divination done and that would like to call in and get a reading done for their family or dealing with the youngest child or a family member, that would be fine. We will definitely take time out for that. So why don't you come into our chat rooms and be a part of our chat room, because we're going to be talking about a topic that is near and dear to all of us. We all become a surrogate advocate for our infants and toddlers because they definitely need help. Now that you're finding a large number of children in the foster care system, mothers are losing their children to the foster care system. This is not indigenous. of the African. Pete, once again, it is not indigenous to the African to lose their children to the system by way of a death or a separation. That child usually stays in the family. It is traditional for that child to stay in the family and for someone like a sibling or an aunt or uncle or grandmother to take over the rearing of that child. It is not indigenous for our children to go into the system. That is not a part of our customs or culture. And let me explain. Yes, we are Native, and we got to stop saying we're an American because we don't raise our children Americanized. We raise our children like indigenous people. When one parent expires and makes the transition, there is arrangement and preparation made for the next of kin to step up and take the rearing of that child. We got to get back to our old indigenous ways. We can no longer pass our responsibility on to the system and further burden a system that's already burdensome. Now, it's very vital that you should hear me on this one, family. I'm speaking to the African Americans because the largest numbers of children are in the system. They are African American children. Now, let me give you a case in point here. The Safe Babies Court Team approach is an approach to help alleviate the stress upon the system. And they're championing children causes by working with the parents and engaging the parent to learn parenting skills, to be better parents so they won't make the mistake of abusing their children, having their children moved out of the home. The Safe Baby Court Team is a community engagement and a system that changes initiatives and focuses in on improving how the court, the child, the welfare agency, and related child services organizing work together. And I quote, they share information and explicit services for the young children in the child welfare system. The Safe Baby Court Team also helps very young victims of male treatment. And this is how they do that, and I quote, by protecting a baby from further harm and addressing the damages already done and exposing the structural issues in the child's welfare system that prevents families from succeeding. Now, that's what we got to do, expose those problems that prevent families from succeeding. If they don't have a job and if they are at risk from the beginning, if they are 18 or below, living in a lower socioeconomic area, a female that's black, they're already at risk and they've been exposed. So we got to help them. The first Safe Baby Court Team began in 2005. Now, I started the research of one last year, and I wanted to continue on that because it's not indigenous to African Americans or Africans to have their children in government agencies being placed in temporary housing and shuffled around through the system. It is not indigenous. Now, we have replicated so many programs, but we want a program that works. And over the years, in several sites across the country, they put programs together. Our program will not just be put together. It will be one that's workable. And each Safe Baby Court Team is a public-private collaboration between 0 to 3. And that is an organization, a local organization. And the local courts are encouraged to collaborate with the community leaders and the coordinators, child family advocates, child welfare agencies, early child care educators, providers, government agencies, private philanthropies, nonprofit private service providers, attorneys committed to improving the community response to child abuse and neglect. Let's lay it on the table. It's child abuse and neglect. Why is it occurring? Are parents intentionally having children to abuse them, or do they know that this is going to happen? When there's shortage of money and when there's not enough money to go around, usually there's not enough love to go around as well. And it causes the parents to be in a position where they are not at themselves and can abuse a child because of lack of income and lack of training. And I quote, on the local level, each safe baby court team is convened by a judge with judicial practices over the foster care cases. The judge works closely with the team, the community coordinator, which is what I am, a child development specialist, and I'm a community coordinator. I'm a co-parent facilitator. I'm a co-parent resolutionist facilitator, meaning that I've had extensive training in the procedures of the practice of early childhood development and how to rear a child. To build a community is very important, and that's what we're going to set out to do. Now, once again, I'm going to solicit for volunteers to be a part of our court team to build a community-wide collaborative safe baby team. That's what we need. They invite other judges, child welfare staff, attorneys, service providers, and other community leaders to join the team. We invite you to do that. And people come first to the meetings because the judge asks them to attend. But I'm going to ask people in this case because the judge has not been asking anyone to attend. Now, the lawyers once propositioned me and asked me if I would help many years ago. But the judges have not asked anyone at this particular moment. Now, these teams are very, very vital. These are professional stakeholders, social workers, psychiatrists, not only psychiatrists, the psychiatrists that do psychotherapy, and also those family life educators, child life therapists, music therapy, all the stakeholders that have a stake in working with, coming up with how to place that child permanently in a home so that he is not or she is not moved around home from home. Safe Baby Court Team, they work together, and they've been working with large sums of infants and toddlers across the country. And what we intend to do is to network with those very different entities. For example, and I quote, child focuses on services because maltreated children are so likely to experience developmental delays and medical problems. We find them in a medical home with consistent primary caregivers by pediatrics who come to know the child and the family. In addition, all children serviced by safe baby court teams receive a screening. These children must receive a screening for developmental delays. And that's what I do. As a behavior therapist, I screen these individual young children from birth to three to look for delays, and these are conducted by early childhood, by local agencies as well. They're responsible for complying with Part C. Now, that's the law that we comply with, Part C of the Individual Disability Education Act. Now, once again, we're seeing the Individual with Disability Education Act come up under Part C. And this is for those infants who need advocates to advocate on behalf of them and give them service. The initial Part C screening is repeated if the pediatrician noticed that one set of developmental problems, because it is often the case in a delayed area or not apparent in the first month of the child's life. Sometimes we don't catch it. That's why it has to be repeated. Concurrent planning has to take place, because young children see the world through eyes of the closest caregiver, even their mothers, even if they're not fit. Even changes in placement is difficult adjustment for the child, and that will cause the child to become delayed when you change the placement. Changes in placement are minimized by reaching out to extended family members prior to removal. I repeat, you must reach out to extended family members prior to removing the child from the parent. And the care by quickly identifying caregivers, kin and non-related foster parents who would be willing to become the child's permanent family if reunification becomes impossible. But we start to place that child in the care of their relatives first, not outside of their relatives. And quality of early learning experience we look for. Each Safe Baby team has developed partnerships with local early childhood Head Start programs and child care providers. Some communities, there are highly qualified options. In every community, early childhood education are encouraged. And that's why you hear me talking about the CDA and early childhood education to attend training offered by the local team. Now, I'm an early intervention. That means I'm a specialist. I work in pediatrics, and I also work in neonatal. I have a special training in the sciences to work with sick children in the hospital. So as a specialist, my skills have to be utilized properly, not just with elementary children, but with the families in a crisis. Frequently family time and the frequent and consistent contact is essential if your children are to develop and maintain strong and secure relationships. This is what the council said with their parents. Research has shown that frequent visitation, multiple times each week, increase the likelihood of reunification. That means we want visitation rights for the parents. We want frequent visitation rights for them because that means early unification back in the home with the family. It reduces the time out of the home for the care and promotion of healthy attachment. Now, Safe Baby teams focus on attention on increasing the time the children and the parents spend together by expanding opportunities such as doctor's appointments, Part C screenings, which they should have, and other health services, locations, the foster home, and the parent and the birth parent's home, and quality of experience through support from trained visit coaches and early interventionists and special education child development. Now, here's my case in point. Where we come in, we want to offer music movement. We want to offer music movement because it allows a parent to have a healthy bonding activity with that child and to develop some type of continuity with the child. Encouraging parents, and I quote, and it says, Safe Baby court teams place a high priority on supporting birth parents in what we hope is healing journey towards the unification with their young children. We want them to have a journey where they're successful in processing the time quickly to reunify that parent with the child. To date, we have worked with almost 1,000 parents across 12 sites. 63% are men and women of color. 63% are men and women of color, with African Americans representing 34% of the total. For every one of them, for example, it says, we recognize the overwhelming odds of confronting parents. As a committee and concerned and individual working with families who come to attention of the child's welfare system, team members learn to look deeper than the allocations made about the parent. We look deeper for failure to protect their children and the family. We serve face an overwhelming number of risk factors in comparison to the general population summarized in the chart. Now, that means African Americans are more vulnerable. And they go on to say to honor the parent's personal journey. Parents who find their families the subject of allegations of abuse and neglect, oftentimes themselves are victims of early childhood trauma. As we strive to interrupt the intergenerational transmission of child abuse, we are giving voice to the stressor that influenced parents' ability to be appropriate caregivers for their children. At the same time, we are demonstrating our respect for the parents and acknowledging that there is beauty and strength in even the most empowering personal story with a better understanding of their individual family history and the historical trauma influencing their community, we are able to craft interventions that support parents in their efforts to reunify with their children, or at the very least, that will be permanent, will permit them to have an ongoing relationship with their children, even they are not able to be day-to-day caregivers if they cannot. In confronting racial inequity, and this is what it says, if we are to reach racial equality, we have to speak about painful topics, such as members of groups who have weathered discrimination for generations, live with reality that the dominant U.S. culture does not view alternative worldviews as equal value. Related to the trauma baggage the parents carry are the ways in which their normative culture frameworks differ from the expectation of the dominant culture. The freestanding nuclear family has traditionally been the culture norm for white middle-class society. Extended families are important, but not blood-related. Friends play critical nurturing roles in ethnic minority families. When professionals see freestanding nuclear families as the desired outcome of their intervention, they fail to appreciate and use culturally specific alternatives. In order to equip faith-based court teams, communities to understand and address the issues confronting families in the child welfare system, we must have undertaken a multi-year training initiative that focused on historical trauma as experienced by African Americans, Native Americans, Native Hawaiian families included. In addition to providing resources such as New Jim Crow, mass incarceration in the age of color blindness to safe baby teens, we are conducting training focused on increasing awareness of the history of racism, current structural racism, and how disparate treatment of people of color affects their experience of child welfare system. Now, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. We're looking at, it says, to provide services that target the specific individual's needs of that parent and family. Parents who are maltreating their children need some level of intervention to help them overcome the reasons for their neglectfulness or abusive behavior. We strive to make the intensity of the intervention equivalent in intensity to the specific characteristics of the parent and the child. Now, we've got some problems here, parents. We've got some serious problems, and these are problems that persist and have not been addressed. Engaging communities. That's what we're going to do. We're going to engage the community in safe baby teens only as effective as engagement levels of the community, the leaders involved. When the right community leaders are at the table and are fully committed to addressing the needs of these young children, amazing things can happen. And I quote, it says, example of the power of the community engagement includes creating our houses, a house-like visitation center. Now, I'm saying we're creating the Omi Inka Bethany Retreat House. And they talk about the our houses. And they said, thanks to the effort to a team member who was active in the church outreach, he created the our houses. Now, I suggest we create these houses for training and development and having a location so that there's an appropriate place where the parent and child could learn to bond together again. We need monthly parent activities where they can engage together. We need dedication from those stakeholders who are a part of our advisory team. Our advisory teams are professionals dedicated to Head Start, dedicated to the providers, dedicated to early childhood. The early Head Start providers in Des Moines are very dedicated, and they work programs there and seeking approval for proposals that will be allowed for their programs. Now, Indiana has got to get on the bandwagon, and we've got to propose that I am funded to do the work of a coordinator to bring this about. Now, I've been carrying this program for the past 2 years and trying to get it up and running and getting all the stakeholders together. We train co-parent facilitator resolutionists, and they are able to go in and offer the 6 credit hours that's needed by the court for those parents who go through divorce and have to meet the requirement of taking the 6 credit hours of relearning how to be parents as a single parent. Now, we want some commitment from all of you as we go about the business of making child parent process a little bit easier. We're looking for those psychotherapists. We're looking for the psychologists. We're looking for child life therapists. We're looking for those music movement people. We want you to be a part of our team to help us to engage, because a lot of the problems are not the parents' problems. They come with generational racism. So we've got to debunk the generational racism, because it is not indigenous to our belief. Our belief is that every parent in that family is an assertive parent who is qualified to take over the rearing of that child. That child need not go into the system and be lost and further damaged. Our mission is to let the child transition out of the system as quickly as possible so less damages can be done to the child in permanent placement. Permanent placement is our goal. And with your help, we can give the children permanent placement. Psychologists that are out there that do screening, that work with early interventionists to help to do the screening, those that are working with the behavior, speech problem, and dealing with the readiness for speech and dealing with developmental stages, we definitely need your support. And we need you to be a part of what we're about to do again. We're not just going to air this on the radio. We're going to go a step further. We're going to reach out. We're going to have meetings and make recommendations, and we're going to be the influential ear for the judge to hear from as a specialist to speak and make recommendations to the judge for the best practices of that infant and toddler. We thank you so much for going with us on this journey and being a part of what we're saying. We want to make child parenting a lot more easier. We want to take the stress off those mothers who don't have money to run their household and they're only living off food stamps. How can a couple make it when they're just living off food stamps? They will come in and take the child away because you have no income. I saw it happen to two good parents that were good parents but just had no job. Now, if I'm going to make it happen, these parents who have special needs children under Part C and under Part 5 are entitled to employment. They're entitled to work in the government system. Now, if they knew that they could get a job under Title 5, they would be at your doorstep knocking, asking for a job in special education. We're going to help them to get trained so they can become